dismantle the PMU and all of these factions from Israel. But as Karim often puts it, right, Iraq is just going to do whatever is told. And then at the end of the list is Iran, right, with the letter from Trump to Khamenei and the threats that are continuing. We heard a few months ago that Israel was planning to launch attacks on Iran with the U.S. help in 6 months, right? They said by the fall, right? So, again, none of us here have a crystal ball, sadly, but the way things are going, it does seem like this has kind of become the status quo.
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRAB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Back to Reality. Thank you for joining us in this new episode. Well, this is Asma. Once more, I have the honor to be your host. And here with me, I have two very dear guests, Brother Liaqat and Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum, both of you.
Alaykum assalam.
And just as the ritual of this program goes, I would like you to introduce yourself very briefly so that we can get into the very heart of discussion. So let's just start with Sister Zainab.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and assalamu alaikum. Yes, this is Zainab Askari. I'm from Kashmir, Indian Administrated Kashmir. And I've been living in Iran for some 10 years now and studying Khalsa here.
Very good. Thank you for joining us, Sister Zainab. And you, Brother Liaqat?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm Muhammad Liaqat Abbas from India. And right now I'm pursuing my master's in psychology. And my interest is in history, Islamic history, as well as psychology. Thank you.
Thank you both of you very much for joining us in today's episode. Well, there are some certain things in this life that are given to us as they come from the factory with us. We do not have any role in choosing them, in picking them. But then maybe in future life, we're going to be judged by them. And we judge people by them as well. Like one of them could be the color of your skin. One of them could be the way you talk. One of them could be, for example, special deficiencies. Like we all have seen them around us in different formats. So in these occasions, how should I actually teach myself to rein it in, to control my potential, to analyze people based on what has never been in their hands?
Basically, I'm always judged upon my appearance, about my wealth, about my status, about every single thing I have. Because the world is always there for me to judge me, to pass on judgments. And of course, when it comes to passing on judgments, I remember the story, very famous story. Of course, you also do, I think, about the donkey
and the father and the son.
Yeah, exactly. You see, so without elaborating it, so the people were there always to pass on judgments.
Interestingly, in our religion, there is a nice notion that tells you you have to bring a lot of excuses for even the things that you take as wrong. Like, for example, when you see your neighbor is doing something and then that smells fishy, and then you might pass some judgments on them, try to bring excuses. Like, for example, no, this person is not this way. No, they're not doing this.
This is a hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam that even if you see something with your eyes and you hear with your ears, give yourself 70 positive assumptions.
Yeah.
70 positive assumptions before passing on any judgment. So we don't even give one positive assumption without even seeing the thing, without being on the spot. Just even if someone comes
because
to us.
Because it is difficult. You know, let's be honest. Sometimes, on
nothing
some
is difficult while we practice it. If we practice, yes, I would say it's difficult to have that trait overnight.
Yeah.
But practice makes a man perfect.
Yeah. It's very good. Now, this is the setting for our discussion. We go for a break and then we come back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Welcome back. Well, this is Back to Reality, and we're here to bring you back to the reality that there are some ideas that would stay as the stereotype forever, and then we judge people, or we're being judged by them forever. So there are some certain things, as I just mentioned at the very beginning of today's episode, that are not in our control.
Yeah.
Like the things that we already know. Then we judge people based on the things that are not in their control, or either we are being judged by those things that have never been in our control.
Exactly.
So for these occasions, now the occasion seems very tricky and very sad and very gloomy to think about, but then we have to dissect it in order to find a way out of it. Like, if I have this trait of judging people based on whatever that is not in their hand, how can I change my perspective? Is there any way, like, to wash my eyes, as that Persian poet puts it? Can I wash my eyes and see things differently?
Yeah, when you want to ask this question, the thing which comes in place is the appearance, all about the appearance, yeah? So the things which I don't have control upon is my appearance itself, the first and foremost thing. The way I look, the way my eyes are, the color of my skin,
exactly.
The height, my weight, everything. Especially for the ladies, I think weight is a very big thing of concern, isn't it? Yeah. So the physical appearance, everything, like you see. So definitely. Like, if a person is facing problem with this thing, or is a racist, in other words, who's hating the opposite person because of his appearance, because of the color of the skin, example. The person can change. There are possible ways.
What's the first step?
The first thing, what the psychologist suggests, I would say, or one of them, which the psychologist suggests, is that they go and live with them. Basically, if a person is facing this trouble, that whenever he sees a black guy, he's distancing him from that person, then he should go to that black guy, should give a gift, or maybe like shake hand, hug him.
Have more interactions.
More interaction. Be more kind. Even though the heart is burning of fire, example,
go against the urge of our heart.
Exactly. Once this thing happens, and it happens repeatedly, you will see the akhlaq, or the character, the etiquettes of the black guy, and you will say, oh, this person
they
is just like me.
They become a friend of yours.
Exactly. Then the perspective starts to change slowly.
Yeah.
But if we see the childhood of, like, during childhood, of a person, the person has no hatred towards a black guy. This is there. There are documentaries on this. The children are playful with each other no matter what color they are.
They do not know anything about this segregation.
Exactly. It is when they learn through the societies that, black guys, example, this kind of appearance, person who has this kind of appearance is a bad guy or something like this, that the ideologies start to change. And this is changeable again. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Sister Zena, what about you? The first step for me to change myself, not to pass judgment on people based on the things that have never been in their control.
Right. Yes, we judge people sometimes based on things that are in their control, that are not in their control, that are partially in their control, and so on. So here I would say I personally was born in a city, and what had unconsciously passed on from generations to us, that the people from the rural areas are not at par with the people in the city. So we had this racist ideology until I would also look down upon them personally, until I met this lady who said to me, like, you know, we have to prepare grounds for the arrival of Imam. And one of the grounds you can prepare, for example, financial advancements, what you did financially, and maybe say, for example, you bought a car or something, and you give the keys to Imam tomorrow and tell that, Imam, this is my service to you. And Imam says, thank you so much, I accepted this, and gives the key to the same rural guy you hate.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Are you ready for this acceptance? If you are ready, Imam will come tomorrow. So we have to make ourselves so down to earth, and I don't know, accept everyone beyond the, and judge them, not be judgmental over them, because we have a day for judgment, the day
exactly.
of judgment,
and
we have the best of the judges. So we are not here for mm-hmm. judgments. And as one of the persons also said, that judge me when you walk my paths, wear my
exactly.
shoes, have those thorns that I have
yeah.
beard.
When
and
you
then
tried my shoes already.
Yeah. So then judge me. So like mm-hmm. until unless we don't know the situations they have been, and we are not supposed to. But I think this one, the lady, the conversation I had with, it drastically changed the
so
way I think.
So the gist of what I get from your saying is that the first step to change this perspective is, first of all, try the will to change your perspective is one step. And then the other thing you have to do is to put yourself in the place of those people.
Yeah.
Try to have more interactions and try to see what's the difference. At the end of the day, we all are human beings. We have this verse in the Holy Book of Quran, and I just remembered it as we were talking about the colors and judging people based on their appearances. God has says it all. God has said it all, and He had actually clarified the occasion for us. He says that "Inna akramakum 'indallahi atqakum," like the thing that is going to make you superior to the others is your obedience to me. And that superiority is going to be acknowledged by me, not by you.
Yeah.
These are very important things. The only thing that would distinguish us from each other is the amount of obedience we have to God.
We cannot pass a judgment based on appearance, even upon the animals. You see,
yeah.
Like example, a lizard or a cockroach. People say this,
mm-hmm.
like, look at the lizard, how dirty. Unfortunately, yeah? Unfortunately for that person, because that lizard is a makhluk of Allah. It is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was asked, bring a creature, a creation of mine, who's lower than yours, example. Then Musa alayhi salam, he went in the city or the place, and he roamed around the city for the whole day. At the end of the day, he saw a diseased dog about to die. I was like, okay, maybe this dog is a lowly creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he ties the dog, he ties the rope in the neck of the dog, around the neck of the dog, and he pulls it. And before bringing it to the Mount of Tur, he was like, Musa alayhi salam, the Prophet Musa was like, maybe this dog has a great or a valuable station near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's like, okay, let me leave the dog alone. And he goes to Allah, he goes to the mountain of Tur to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's like, Ya Allah, I'm so sorry, I couldn't find anyone. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was like, if you would have only brought the diseased dog who was about to die, you would have been kind of whipped off the nubuwa of prophecy.
Excluded.
I would have excluded
yeah.
you of the prophecy. You would no longer be a prophet.
So this has a lot of morals to say.
Definitely. So it's not about human beings, like just about human beings. We talk
about
the appearance of a particular sect or a group or color or tone or height or weight, whatever. But this goes to even the animals, unfortunately. Like, people cannot pass judgments even on the appearance of the animals. Leave
yeah.
aside the human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Human beings are like, oh, they are awliya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well in the human beings.
Yeah.
But about the animals, maybe animals have a kind of station near Allah
yeah.
subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Ahlul Bayt.
Exactly, yeah.
One point I would definitely like to add here, the judgments that are passed, sometimes they are unfair and sometimes they may be fair. So the places they may be fair is sometimes because we are judged based on our behavior. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, be a source of adornment for us.
Yeah.
So as a Muslim, behave well in society. As a Muslim,
and
be kind, be generous.
We also have another narration that says, do not put yourself in the position where people pass judgments on
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
do
so
not
see,
do things that are
so
challenging.
Something that is in your
control,
improve that.
Yeah.
Not for the people at least, but at least for the sake of your religion.
Mm-hmm.
Like Muslim society in the past, when Prophet introduced it, was the most well-groomed society. So do not change those notions on your own. Like, do not make it too strict that you're now considered as so much way off from adornment as well.
Yeah.
So be a source of adornment for religion.
So this was the ending part. Thank you for your cooperation.
Thank you.
It was pretty fruitful. I learned a lot of things from you guys. I hope that was interesting for the audience as well. Well, to wrap it all up, to end it, I would again mention this point from the poem by Sohrab Zeferi that I love so much. He says that, let's wash our eyes and see differently. Really, let's all of us come to this point to break the binary oppositions of black and white, of inferior and superior, and look at everything from a different perspective. Maybe all the fun and love is on the side that I'm not looking at it perfectly. So until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا الله يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمار عزك يا الله يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي Let us see daylight again, once again.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You are listening to the program Bridge on Iran Radio with Sheikh Mahdi, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala ashraf al-anbiya wal-mursaleen, habib qulubana wa tabib nufusana bil-ghasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala al-baytih al-tayyibin al-tahirin al-ma'asumin al-mukarramin, siyuma baqiyatillahi fil-aradin. Respected brothers and sisters, congratulations on each and every one of you on being able to successfully complete 1 month of fasting and worshiping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and completing the rituals of this month. For those depending on where in this globe you're located, for those who are celebrating it today, happy Eid al-Fitr, Eid Mubarak to you. And for those who has already celebrated this day, we are also congratulating all of you on this great Eid. The 16th dua of Sahifa Sajjadia, in fact, gets to the part that is really in line with the scheme or with the theme of the day of the Eid. In fact, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, in this 16th dua, where he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for pardoning for his sins and seeking refuge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, وَبَشِّرْنِي بِذَلِكَ. If you can recall, in the previous part, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with number of requests. One of them was that, وَقِنِي مِنَ الْمَعَاسِي. Protect me from my sins. وَاسْتَعْمِلْنِي بِالطَّاعَةِ. Employ me in your obedience. وَارْزُقْنِي حُسْنَ الْإِنَابَةِ. Provide me with excellent turning back to you. وَتَهِرْنِي بِالتَّوْبَةِ. Purify me through repentance. وَأَيِّدْنِي بِالْإِسْمَةِ. And then assist me or strengthen me through the preservation from sin. وَاسْتَسْلِحْنِي بِالْعَاقِبَةِ إِلَى آخِرِ. Until the end of it. And then Imam Sajjad says, and by those answering those du'as in regards to myself, وَبَشِّرْنِي بِذَلِكَ فِي الْعَاجِلِ. Meaning that give me the good news of what? Of that in the immediate. دون العاجل. The first عاجل is with عين. The second one is with ألف. Not the deferred. بشرة عاجل البشرة أعرفها. Right? It's the good news that comes to you. It's not deferred. That I recognize. That I have been looking for. Right? Let's take a break and we'll be back shortly.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum again. Congratulations on the day of Eid again. Today in the qunut of the salat of the day of Eid al-Fitr, we say a special dua, and that dua is really beautiful. You can recite it outside of the times of the Qadr. Meaning that dua is a beautiful dua in which we say, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra ma sa'alaka minhu ibaduka as-salihun. Oh Allah, we ask you for the best of what people has achieved in their lives, right? As'aluka khayra ma sa'alaka minhu ibaduka as-salihun. I'm asking you for a better answer or for a better answering of my du'as or for a better gift than what the sulaha, the best of your servants, have already asked for it, right? And then in here it says, "Bashirni fi dhalika fil ajil dun al ajil." Right? Give me the good news of that and the immediate, not the deferred. A'rifuha, right? The ones that you recognize. Wa'arifni fiha alamatan anbiyan. Make me known to me therein a sign which I may clearly see. Inna dhalika la yadhiqu alayka fi wus'ik. If I'm asking these, none of these constrain you in your plenty. وَلَا يَتَكَعَدُكَ فِي قُدْرَتِكَ. And they do not distress you in your power. وَلَا يَتَسَدَّعُكَ فِي عَنَاتِكَ. They ascend beyond thy lack of haste. وَلَا يَعُوذُكَ فِي جَبْرَئِيلَ هِبَائِكَ الَّتِي دَلَّتْ عَلَيْهَا آيَاتُكَ. And also, I want to ask you, O Allah, to ascend beyond your lack of haste or tire you in your great gifts, which are pointed to us by your signs that you have sent us over and over. We have confronted you, we have disobeyed you, we have done wrong to you, yet you have returned it with mercy. وَلَا يَعُودُكَ فِي جَزِيلِ هِبَاتِكَ الَّتِي دَلَّتْ عَلَيْهَا آيَاتُكَ. Or tire thee in thy great gifts, which are pointed by your signs. Verily, إِنَّكَ تَفْعَلُ مَا تَشَاءُ. Verily, you can do whatever you want. وَتَحْكُمُ مَا تُرِيدُ. And you will decree or you will command upon whatever you want. Let's take a final break and inshallah we'll come back to wrap up the 16th dua of Sahifa Sajjadiyah.
You are listening to the program Bridge on Iran Radio.
Alright, in this final portion, as we mentioned, after Imam finishes a dua that is very descriptive, that is very knowledge-bringing for all of us, he says, إِنَّكَ تَفْعَلُ مَا تَشَاءُ. I said all of what I have said, but O Allah, I do know that you are superior to me, and I have accepted this, right? And if I do not consider you to be superior to me, then I will get into life situations where other wrong human beings become my, or become our person that is standing superior to us, and that makes everything difficult. Like, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is superior to us. We have faith in that. And then we say, إِنَّكَ تَفْعَلُ مَا تَشَاءُ. Alright, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe that He's superior to us in all means or by all means. إِنَّكَ تَفْعَلُ مَا تَشَاءُ. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever I have said, but you know, you do whatever you want to do. No one can influence you by any way. No one is superior to you. No one has an impact on your decision making. In regards to us, our very selves, the only one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to have impression and impact is ourselves. Through our deeds, the deeds that will carry on coming with us, and they follow us, not only in this dunya, but in the hereafter. وَتَحْكُمُ مَا تُرِيدُ. And you decree what you desire. O Allah, إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. You are powerful over everything. And anytime I confuse my stance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's where the setup for my failure has been successfully completed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to stay away from that. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Bridge on Iran Radio with Sheikh Mahdi, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواه از کف دهن عشق و تولای تو را
Winter takes its last breaths. The sun comes back to life and the earth gradually warms up. Trees awaken from their winter slumber and nature bursts forth in a symphony of vibrant colors. Spring is just around the corner. Everyone seems happy and full of hope. It is time to say goodbye to the cold season of the year and welcome a time marked by festivities across the country. During this beautiful transition, the people of Iran begin their preparations for Nowruz. Meaning New Day, this national festival is an ideal time for relaxation and rejuvenation, reconnecting with loved ones, traveling to breathtaking destinations, taking refuge in nature, and truly savoring life. This season grants everyone a precious opportunity to recharge their batteries for the year ahead. Yet, there is more about Nowruz, a festival with its roots in time immemorial. On the eve of the last Wednesday before Nowruz, Iranians traditionally celebrate Charshanbe Suri. People gather in neighborhoods to light bonfires made from wood and twigs. Participants jump over the flames while chanting Zardi man az to, surkhi to az man, which translates to "My paleness is yours, your redness is mine." This chant symbolizes the hope for health and vitality in the new year. Setting off firecrackers and fireworks is a common practice to symbolically ward off evil spirits and announce the arrival of the new year with joy. Music, dancing, and singing often accompany the festivities, creating a lively atmosphere. The central message of Charshanbe Suri revolves around renewal and hope. It embodies themes of purification and the triumph of light over darkness. Welcome to Gulistan Palace, a UNESCO World Heritage Site in the heart of Tehran, where history and culture come together to celebrate Nowruz, the Persian New Year. Nowruz, signaling the arrival of spring, is not just a celebration of nature's renewal, but also a reflection of Iran's rich heritage as well. Join us as we explore the significance of this beautiful festival and what it means to the people of Iran today. As the last moments of the old year fade away, families across Iran gather in their homes, ready to welcome the much-anticipated arrival of Nowruz, the Persian New Year. The air is filled with a palpable sense of excitement and hope as loved ones come together around the beautifully arranged haftseen table, which is a symbol of renewal and abundance. The haftseen table is meticulously set with seven symbolic items, each starting with a Persian letter seen, representing different aspects of life. Sabze, sprouted wheat or lentils, symbolizing rebirth and growth. Samanu, a sweet pudding made from sprouted wheat, representing power and strength. Senjed, dried fruit of the oleaster tree, symbolizing love. Serke, vinegar, representing patience and wisdom. Sir, garlic, symbolizing health and protection against evil. Sib, apples, representing beauty and health. Somak, sumac berries, symbolizing the sunrise and the triumph of good over evil. Alongside these, other elements such as a mirror, hyacinth, and coins are placed on the table, each carrying its significance. The declaration of the new year in Iran is not merely a change in time, it is a heartfelt ritual that encapsulates hope, love, and the promise of new beginnings. Surrounded by traditions and the spirit of renewal, each household becomes a part of a greater tapestry woven throughout the country, connecting all Iranians in a celebration of life and the beauty of new possibilities. Dr. Mostafa Pourali from Iran's Ministry of Cultural Heritage, Tourism and Handicrafts explained why Nowruz truly qualifies as a national festival.
As a national festival, what do you think are some of the social and cultural functions of Nowruz?
Nowruz, همونجوری که در پرونده ثبت میراث ناملموس جهانیش هم مورد تایید یونسکو قرار گرفته.
Nowruz transcends ethnic, religious and ideological differences. It serves as a unifying element among all our ethnic groups. In fact, it doesn't matter when the moment of the new year arrives. There's no distinction between Kurds, Lors, Gilaks, Arabs, Baluches, and Persians. Everyone celebrates Nowruz. The same applies to the tradition of giving iftar during Ramadan. Even though iftar is associated with Ramadan, those who provide iftar do so for everyone, regardless of whether the recipient is fasting or not, or whether they're Muslim or not. What is important is the tradition of generosity and doing good deeds. When we talk about the cultural heritage of Iran, these are the elements that constitute it.
Nowruz has been celebrated for over 3,000 years, rooted in ancient Persian traditions. Here at the Gulistan Palace, the echoes of history remind us how this festival transcends time, uniting generations. Nowruz is not just a holiday, it's a celebration of culture and identity, embraced by all Iranians, regardless of their background.
Almost a week before the new year, we were strolling around the palace, captivated by its grandeur, when we stumbled upon a gathering of people relishing a duet. The performers were reciting verses from the Shahnameh, the epic masterpiece by Ferdowsi, one of the greatest poets of this land, whose work is deeply entwined with the themes of Iranian identity and heritage. What struck us was the abundant references to Nowruz throughout the Shahnameh, celebrating it as a festival of the Iranian nation.
Nowruz bude, hast va khahad bud.
Nowruz has been, is, and will continue to be as long as there exists a land called Iran on earth. This ancient festival connects the hearts of us Iranians. When Nowruz arrives, we visit each other clean our homes, wear new clothes, and welcome freshness, light, and life.
Mohammad Reza Majuni, an Iranian naqqad or epic storyteller, told us about the mythological origins of Nowruz.
گرانمایه جمشید فرزند او، یعنی فرزند تهمورس دیوبند.
King Jamshid ascended to the throne after his father, King Tahmuras, and brought forth a plethora of innovations and inventions over the centuries, ranging from iron extraction and the creation of weapons to the development of clothing and the establishment of occupational groups, including four categories: priests, warriors, farmers, and artisans. He even crafted a throne that he would sit on and carried by demons ascend to the sky. When King Jamshid completed all his good deeds, the people of the world gathered around him, brings various gifts, and they celebrated with joy and happiness. King Jamshid named that day Nowruz, and thus laid the foundation for the Nowruz festival.
As we listened, one of the singers infused the performance with a modern melody brimming with patriotic fervor, weaving together the historical significance of Shahnameh with the contemporary expressions of love for Iran. As is tradition, shortly after the new year begins, Iranian TV channels air a speech by the leader of the Islamic Revolution. In this address, the leader reflects on the highlights of the past year and outlines the direction the country should take in the upcoming year. Additionally, he designates a theme for the new year, emphasizing a key priority for the nation. This year, for instance, the leader has named it Investment for Production in response to the country's specific circumstances. This year, just like the past couple of years, the occurrence of Nowruz alongside Ramadan provides a unique opportunity for reflection and gratitude. As families celebrate the joys of the new year, they also observe the holy month of fasting. The juxtaposition of Nowruz's jubilant festivities with the spiritual solemnity of Ramadan invites Iranians to have both joy and contemplation.
Nowruz 1404 مصادف شده با ماه مبارک رمضان.
This year, Nowruz coincides with the holy month of Ramadan. In other words, we Iranians are celebrating our national festival, Nowruz, at the same time as we're fasting, observing a religious obligation. It's interesting to note that last year, we registered the file for the global recognition of iftar and the social and cultural traditions associated with it in UNESCO's Intangible Cultural Heritage List, in collaboration with several other countries. This means that the Ministry of Cultural Heritage has registered both Nowruz, which is a national element, and iftar, which is a religious one, on a global scale. The coincidence of these two provides a great opportunity to promote both. One of the good ideas that my colleagues have in mind for this year's Nowruz table is to adorn it with some elements from iftar tables and add certain sweets traditionally served during iftar. The Ministry of Cultural Heritage has also suggested a central slogan for this season: the Crescent of Nowruz, Nowruz in Ramadan, Iranian Heritage. The harmonious coexistence of these two national and religious ceremonies is truly a cultural heritage of Iran that is being well preserved.
This unique overlap encourages a harmonious blending of joy and contemplation, inviting individuals to appreciate the blessings of a new beginning while embracing the deeper significance of their faith. The lively celebrations of Nowruz, marked by colorful gatherings, traditional dishes, and the exchange of well wishes, seamlessly complement the solemnity of Ramadan, where self-discipline and introspection take center stage. This dual celebration encourages Iranians to cherish their cultural heritage and spiritual values. For Iranians, these celebrations are not mutually exclusive, but rather complementary. They often find ways to celebrate the new year while observing the fast, creating a dialogue between festivity and spirituality. This synthesis of cultural and religious practices illustrates the rich Iranian identity. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, on the first day of the new year.
As a national festival, Nowruz serves multiple functions. It's a time for celebration, a moment for reflection, and an opportunity to strengthen familial and social bonds. Here at Golestan Palace, surrounded by splendor, we can truly appreciate the festival's role in fostering social harmony and cultural exchange. This Nowruz, as we welcome the first day of spring and the blessings of Ramadan, let's celebrate the beauty of unity and diversity. May the new year bring health, peace, and joy for all. Nowruz is not only a celebration of spring, but also a powerful element in public diplomacy. As an intangible cultural heritage recognized by UNESCO in 2010, it holds the potential to promote understanding, cooperation, and connection among diverse nations and communities. We had a conversation with Dr. Alireza Delkhosh, currently serving as Iran's ambassador to Sri Lanka and the Maldives. He provided valuable insights into public diplomacy and its connection to Nowruz.
How do you assess the role of Nowruz in fostering public diplomacy in the region?
Diplomacy umumi yek shive novini az diplomacy.
Public diplomacy is a novel approach to diplomacy. It refers to a set of efforts and activities undertaken by governments or institutions to communicate and influence public opinion in other countries. Its aim is to improve the national image, raise awareness of culture and values, and foster positive relationships with foreign people and media. In this light, Nowruz can be seen as a tool in the hands of public diplomacy. Nowruz can serve as a bridge connecting nations. The nations that celebrate Nowruz focus on their cultural commonalities rather than geographical, political, or ethnic divisions. The Nowruz celebration that these nations observe simultaneously, along with traditions that share many similarities, has allowed Nowruz to create a cultural geography composed of various countries, bringing nations closer together in the simplest way possible.
Nowruz transcends national borders, celebrated by various ethnic groups across the West Asia region, Central Asia, the Caucasus, and beyond. This shared heritage provides a unique platform for cultural exchange, inviting countries to engage in dialogue, share traditions, and explore common values.
Can you tell us what other countries celebrate Nowruz other than Iran?
Many countries around the world celebrate Nowruz. Officially, it is recognized in 13 countries: Iran, Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, India, Uzbekistan, Azerbaijan, Iraq, Kyrgyzstan, Pakistan, Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, and Turkey. However, it is worth mentioning that in other countries, while not all people, many groups do celebrate Nowruz, ranging from India and China to Balkan nations like Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Moreover, the themes of renewal and hope inherent in Nowruz can serve as a foundation for peace-building initiatives. The holiday emphasizes the importance of harmony and friendship, making it an ideal occasion for diplomacy aimed at fostering better relations between nations, especially in regions experiencing conflict. Events and festivals celebrating Nowruz can also facilitate grassroots diplomacy. By organizing cultural events, workshops, and community gatherings, nations can create opportunities for citizens to interact, learn from each other, and cultivate mutual respect and understanding.
The message of Nowruz is undoubtedly one of peace and friendship. Just as the United Nations has designated a day to celebrate Nowruz, this festival does not solely belong to Iran and this region. In fact, Nowruz belongs to humanity. Everyone should celebrate it, and if some countries do not observe it, it may be because they are unaware of it. Nowruz truly promotes nothing but peace and friendship among individuals and among nations.
This ancient festival can easily attract visitors and therefore can promote cultural tourism. Countries can use this holiday to showcase their unique customs, cuisine, and traditions, thus enhancing bilateral relations through economic cooperation in areas like tourism, trade, and cultural industries.
My next question is regarding foreign tourists. Do you have any specific recommendations for them visiting Iran during the Nowruz celebrations?
In our national development program, there has been special attention to tourism. The overall policy is to provide better hosting for foreign tourists so that they leave the country with greater satisfaction and more pleasant memories. My suggestion to tourists coming from abroad is not to limit themselves to a few famous cities in Iran like Shiraz and Isfahan, which are indeed jewels of our history and civilization, but to explore the many attractive cultural and natural areas that remain unknown to tourists. It would be a pity for them to come to Iran and miss visiting these regions, which range from Hyrcanian forests in the north, registered as a UNESCO World Heritage Site, to the caravanserais scattered throughout Iran, some of which date back hundreds of years, and are also included in the UNESCO World Heritage List. By the way, these caravanserais are located in 24 provinces across the country. By visiting various and sometimes lesser-known areas, tourists can have a richer and more unique experience during their travels in Iran.
In Iran, the Nowruz holidays span 13 days. On the 13th day of the new year, known as Sizde Bedar, literally meaning getting rid of the 13th in Farsi, Iranians traditionally go outdoors to appreciate nature and enjoy picnics. It's common to bring along the sabze, sprouted wheat or lentils, from the half-seen table and throw it into flowing water, symbolizing the disposal of bad luck. A charming custom associated with this day involves young, single individuals, particularly girls, tying up leaves from the greenery before discarding it as a hopeful gesture for finding a partner. As Nowruz draws to a close, Iranians transition from the vibrant celebrations of the new year back to their daily routines, rejuvenated and full of energy. Mr. Majouni, reminiscent about his childhood experiences during Nowruz, emphasizing the importance of preserving the festival's rituals.
پدرم هر زمان هر ساعتی از شبانه روز که موقع هنگام سال تحویل بود ما رو بیدار میکرد.
Every year when the new year arrived, even if it was midnight, my father would wake us up and say we should sit around the half-seen table. Then he would hug us, congratulate us on the new year and give us our gifts. I will never forget the memories of Nowruz from my childhood. A season of joy, laughter, games, visiting friends and family, evening festivities, and reading the Shahnameh. Nowruz, with all its customs and traditions, has become an inseparable part of our identity as Iranians. It's something we become familiar with in childhood and grow up with. Nowruz is our national heritage, and it must be passed down from generation to generation, just as it has been until now.
That's all for today. I wish you a happy Nowruz and a year full of health, wealth, and prosperity. Bye for now.
Why there is a need for a government which will be established by the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In one of the letters that he writes to Sheikh Mufid, he tells us one of the ways that we can end the ghibah.
Let us see how one can prepare for the advent of the zuhur of Imam Mahdi, Sahib al-Zaman.
This is Dialogue, an introduction to the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam al-Mahdi, alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue, and I'm your host, Mahdi. Today we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the history of Islam, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Please stay tuned. The 12th divinely appointed Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, is the one who brings hope to all of humanity
as the world is being grinded between the oppressors and tyrants of the age, we look towards the heavens so that the advent of the 12th divinely appointed Imam comes sooner. We raise our hands in prayers and we raise our hands in supplications so that the awaited Savior of humanity comes and brings the final hope and salvation that humanity is so yearning for and desiring. The sights and the eyes of the world are looking towards the advent of this great Savior, Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance so that his eminence comes to establish the divine rule of the Almighty Allah for every single human being, is completely dependent and needs this divine rule of the Almighty Allah. And it is this divine rule of the Almighty Allah, the kingdom of God that is to be established by Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, which will bring about ultimate justice in a world which is filled with cruelty and injustice. Welcome back. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So we are humbly speaking about the dialogues of the awaited Savior of humanity, the Master of the Age, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. This is a dialogue that Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, has with one of his close companions, Uthman ibn Sa'id. And so in this conversation and in this dialogue, we find that Imam al-Mahdi reaches a point and His Eminence says that on the basis of this, that means this occultation that will happen, and of course this greater occultation of which the timing of the end of this occultation is only known by the Almighty Allah, that on the basis of this occultation, and not knowing the exact time of the reappearance, that the believers should keep away from their sensual carnal desires and remain steadfast on the path they were on before this greater occultation, meaning on the path of the 11 divinely appointed imams. And they must not try to search out needlessly that which Allah the Almighty has concealed, as they would become sinful. And they must not try to expose the divine secrets, as they would regret it. So a very interesting passage in this dialogue between Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, and Uthman ibn Sa'id. Of course, the first two points that Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, has put forth and has emphasized, of course, one is to stay away from these carnal and sensual desires. If one has intimate relations in a halal and a permissible manner, then of course this is something that is permissible, it is halal, and it is even recommended. So one of the sunnah and traditions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household, and one of the things that is highly emphasized in Islam, of course, is that one should get married, because marriage is a means by which an individual is able to satisfy their natural, sensual and carnal desires in a permissible manner. But of course, staying away from these haram desires, carnal desires, base desires, is a must. And the other one, of course, is to remain steadfast on the path of the Almighty Allah, of course, on a path that trials and difficulties and tribulations will come forth, but one has to trust the Almighty Allah through all of these. The other parts, of course, do not try to search out needlessly that which Allah has concealed. And of course, the last one being that do not expose divine secrets, as you would end up regretting. These two aspects are a little bit vague, so I won't be able to conclusively say something in that manner. But of course, this idea that you should not expose divine secrets, that is common sense, and on the other hand, do not search out needlessly that which Allah has concealed. If it's concealed, then that means that it should be concealed, and to kind of dig up that thing which Allah does not want you to dig up, of course, is a sin in a very basic manner. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. And now we invite you to listen to Sister Khalfan.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Let us see how one can prepare for the advent of the zuhur of Imam Mahdi Sahib al-Zaman. First of all, this path of treading towards the advent of his zuhur is the path of wilaya, the path that we have to adhere the principles of people who are following this path of perfection. And this is none other than the divine leadership. And how do we go about paving this way is to make the whole society to be a single and unified body. In our surah Alhamd also, which we recite in our daily prayers, we say, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the right path. We don't only say, guide me to the right path. We want everyone to be guided, the whole society to be guided. So here we are told to love one another for the sake of Allah. And this is one of the best actions. Even when we recite Dua Nutba of Imam Zamana, we are actually wanting to call out in this manner that, for example, Hal min mu'inin fa'utila al-awila wal-buka? Is there any helper to help me so that I can prolong my cry? That means here I want a helper. I want to be unified with someone to help me cry also. So it's like two people's efforts which are prolonged are more than working independently. And this shows that two people's capacities are tenfold, and Allah likes that unity. And then also, Hal min jazu'in fa usa'idu jaza'aha idha khala? Is there anyone sad that so that I can help him when he's alone? So this is the spiritual grief. I am ready to help someone who is alone. In public and in private, Allah wants us to help one another. This shows that everybody should be unified enough to bring that the zuhur closer. So this statement shows that one is ready to render help to the one in the community, even if he be alone. So it doesn't restrict one's relationship to mosques or streets only. Rather, in privacy also, it wants each other to care about one another, to ask about one another. It shows that one should ask around and find out the well-being of a person, ask around with goodwill, and also visit one to their homes. And it shows that one should share the pain with them and also try to solve the pain. There's another statement in the same dua. We call out and we are crying, as nutba means to cry and to call out for the reappearance of Imam to be faster. So, Hal qadiyat aynun fasa'adatha ayni alal qada? Is there any eye that is a split so that my eye can take and share some of the pain? So it shows that we want to even share each other's pain.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, Dialogue. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.